I find it interesting that there's so many forces today that are teaching contrary to what we believe. And they probably always have, but it just seems like I'm hearing it more and more. And so are you. And I guess the closer we get to the unfolding of God's plan, especially specifically the return of Jesus Christ, we're going to hear more and more negatives about it. And, years ago, I warned you guys about the alien thing, that what they're trying to do is prepare people, their paradigms, to expect what they want people to believe. And so, movies, news, you've seen it all lately, is all about UFOs and all that stuff. And there's a couple little voices that are saying, oh, UFOs, they're all devil spirits. And there's people that are in different parts of that spectrum. But for the most part, you see the forces of the world, the ones that control the money in the world, they're the ones that are promoting the devilish messages. But these messages are gaining momentum, and it just means that you have to hold on to the basics, even more so. That's why I like what they teach, because it exposes us more clearly to the basics of the message and to the foundation of our belief system, and just where we stand and what we stand on. And that's pretty cool. But just hold on. Everybody hold on. I wanted to let a cat out of the bag here just a little bit. I'm still in the throes of some of the research, but I wanted to read three little verse sections and just expose you to a concept that I will be talking about more when I teach again. In Acts chapter 1, verse 4, we see Jesus addressing the apostles and those that were with him, right before God, right before he ascended to heaven. It says, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with Holy Ghost not many days hence. So just a quick recap of that verse. He was talking to people, his followers specifically, even more specifically, those 11. And then he said, don't leave Jerusalem. And why? Because the Father promised something, and that's when it's going to happen, or that's where it's going to happen. He didn't say when. That's where it's going to happen. And he said that he'd already told them about it. So they knew what he was talking about. And then this promise is called baptism. And of course, the English is just totally messed up, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. Oh my gosh. I've been having interesting conversations here about the King James Version. And when King James, it's funny when you talk about a subject in German, you use the word the, like the Jerry, the Joe said. They do that in the German language. But the King James, basically, when he had that King James Version written, it was tailored to his beliefs, and they chopped out so much and they altered so much so that the people were forced to believe certain things. And we have to deal with that stuff today. That's why we use the Greek interlinear and check out the Greek to see, hey, is that even in the text? And that's where we differ from so many people. But when the king, the King James, it's the same thing, when the king or when the King James, had this written, he wanted to make sure that the Trinity got put in here, but shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. Okay. Takes all the emphasis off of baptism and it puts it on this thing called the Holy Ghost. I think that the King James was the last king that had people burned at the stake for not believing the Trinity. He was merciless. And so just based on concepts like that, you already know there's something really wrong, not only with the Trinity, but with also that king. He was a homosexual and a well-publicized one, and his belief systems were absolutely and unalterably skewed. He definitely wasn't your model citizen. And so as we read the King James and we use the excuse, oh, it has the most tools. Well, some of these other Bibles do too, like the Geneva, the Authorized Version, and a couple others. There's four that have been brought to my mind recently, that have tools. But whichever one you choose, and we choose the King James, you got to be really careful what you're believing, because you're going to miss the truth. You're going to miss the beauty. You're going to miss everything because of the lies that were interwoven into the English translations. Now, I suppose Jose and Dulce know this better than us because they use their dual Bibles, the Spanish and the English, and they can see. And knowing Jose, he probably has his little Greek thing there too. That's funny. I've got one right here too. Griego, Espanol. And so you can see what's in the Greek, you can see what's in the Spanish, and you can see what's in the English. But when you get to the Holy Ghost, man, you just like skid to a stop. It's horrible, you know, debris flies everywhere. It's just a total mess. And we're supposed to glean the truth from these kind of things. That's why we need teachers. That's why some of us spend our entire lives studying this stuff, because just about the time you think you know it all, you're going to be reminded that you know almost nothing. And that's the nature of life. And we've run into situations where I'll teach something, you know, 20 years ago that no longer is accurate. So now what I do is, you know, I'll preface something. Hey, here's what I know today. I've said this about dunamis. Here's what I know today, and it's probably going to change, but here's what I know today. Okay. And that's how we think. That's how we live. That's how we move. That's how we breathe. That's our paradigm. Our paradigm is ever shifting. And Joe talked about paradigm. I talk about it too every once in a while. I call it a picture frame. It's the frame through which you see the world, and you can change your picture frame at will. There's software programs even on your little cell phone where you could take a picture and put a frame around it. Oh, I don't like that one. Then you put a different frame around it. Anyway, it's what you want things to look like. It's what things look like to you. So we see in Acts chapter 1, verses 4 and 5 that Jesus was together with these guys and he gave them a command. He says, do not leave Jerusalem. He didn't tell us that. He told them that. But we see how emphatic he was. And he said, while you're in Jerusalem, wait for it. Wait for what? The promise. God's promise. I've already told you about it, but wait for God's promise. And then he defined the promise. He said, this has nothing to do with what John did. Get it out of your head. Well, people today refuse to get it out of their heads. They think that it's like a death sentence if they don't get water baptized. That's how thick the King James narrative is. But he goes on to say, you shall be baptized. So the promise is the baptism. What kind of baptism? Well, you can't think about baptism like you would with water baptism. We look at all the pictures in our minds of the pictures that we've been shown and the experiences that we've seen, but that doesn't guarantee anything. I know that those images that we have in our minds can't even light a candle to what happened with Jesus when he was baptized and God, like that looked like the form of a dove descended upon him. This is my beloved son. I'm pleased. I'm well pleased with him. And there's no baptism in the world today that could even begin to mimic something like that. So Jesus said, but you shall be baptized. And that's like fully wetted. It means like immersed in, covered with. And then it says the Holy Ghost. Well, I've already taught you that the Holy Ghost is inaccurate. It's talking about being endued with power from on high. He said, but you shall be baptized with power from on high. Just get the Holy Ghost out of your head. It's so like erroneous. And then in verse 7, he says unto them, it is not for you to know the times or season, because they distracted him and asked him a question, which the Father hath put in his own power. Find that usage of the word power remarkable because it's exousia, it's exercise power. We focus a lot on dunamis, which is the inherent power, but here Jesus was talking about things that God did with the power, his power. And there are things in God's power that we are not privy to. He says, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own power. Well, man, that was like a chide. It was like, stop trying to figure out what God can do, all of his greatness. It's not your business. Leave it alone. These were all part of the commands. So there's this whole thing about God's power, his exousia, his exerted power that controls times or seasons that God put in and of himself that nobody else has, nobody else can have. And Jesus said, it's not for you to know these things. Just stop with it. Stop. He just slapped him. Verse 8. But here's what you should know. Ye shall receive power. Now, of course, because these translators did not know how to translate into English, Greek words, they didn't know. They didn't have to use the same English word for an entirely different Greek word. But here's why we stumble down a cobblestone path. Because they didn't translate the English. Oh, you might say, well, they did. It says power and power and power and power, but you never see that there's three or four different Greek words behind these things. Which one is it? And which one it is determines everything. Jesus was slapping him and he said, it's not for you to know the times or seasons which the Father, well, now that's interesting. The Father, his Father, soon to be their Father, hath put in his own exertions, his own manifestations of power, exerted power. But here's what you can know. Ye shall receive lambano. This was something I think one of you guys, Elizabeth, might have asked about receive lambano, but ye shall receive outwardly into manifestation, not God's exerted power. Not God's own exertations of power. But you guys who are asking me silly questions right now while I'm trying to teach you one of the greatest things in the world throughout all of eternity, even you shall receive into manifestation dunamis. So he pulled dunamis out of the bag and showed it to them and said, this is what you need to be focused on. Stop thinking about this other stuff. Stop asking about it. Stop wondering about it. Just stop. Stop. It's not for you to know. And then there's a little comma, which is properly supplied. After that, the Holy Ghost is come upon you. Now, what did I tell you Holy Ghost meant in verse 5? I said it was power from on high. That's what it means. The Holy Ghost means nothing to us because you don't even see the Greek behind it. So you don't even know if it's true. You don't even know if it should be there. I'm telling you, it doesn't belong. Trust me. I can show you in the Greek if you have any issues with that. Okay. After that, the Holy Ghost, after that power from on high, which is more or less defined right before that, but ye shall lambano dunamis, power from on high. After that, the power from on high is come unto you. And what are you going to do with that dunamis? Because he pulled it out of the bag. He threw it at their feet and he held it up above his head and said, look, this is what's going to happen. Don't you dare leave Jerusalem. Wait, because it's going to be revealed. The power is going to be revealed. You're going to lambano it, but not until after that power from on high is come unto you. Well, of course, you have to receive it inwardly, and then you receive it outwardly. And what are you going to do with that? What do you do with dunamis? What do you do with dunamis? One more time, everybody. What do you do with dunamis? Your witnesses. Ye shall be witnesses unto me. Unto me. So this is all about us walking in Christ's stead. That's what the manifestation of dunamis is all about. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And that's where we got in. Wow. What did I say? The manifestation of dunamis? What did I say? Oh, I think you need to turn to 1 Corinthians 12. And I'm going to let the cat out of the bag. Jesus held it up in front of him. He waved the big sign. He had all the fireworks going off. He commanded them. He chided them. He corrected them. He refocused them. He worked to change their paradigm. He talked to them about a promise. He talked to them about dunamis. He talked to them about baptism, about no water baptism, but about some other kind of baptism that was so unrelated. He didn't even want it to come up, but he had to at least do a comparison to change their paradigm. And then he talked to them about the extent of that which was soon to happen. But he was talking about lambanoing dunamis. That's receiving into manifestation dunamis, which we find out about in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 8. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. So we're seeing the manifestations listed. There's nine of them. I recently asked somebody, a Christian friend of mine, I said, do you believe, do you adhere, do you at all embrace the gift of Holy Spirit, Christ in you, and the resulting manifestations? And I did that to direct the conversation. I asked you the same. Do you embrace the manifestations of Holy Spirit, the manifestations of the gifts of Christ in you within? Do you embrace them? Do you adhere to them? Do you rely on them? Do you trust them? Do you believe that they exist? Are they part of your life? Have they entered into your DNA, so to speak, which would be a paradigm shift? Where are they? Where are you in the topic of the manifestations? Are you on the border? Are you on the bridge? Are you on the platform? Where are you? Because in verse 10, it says to another, the working of miracles. And that word miracles is the Greek word dunamis. It's the same thing that Jesus pulled out of the bag and threw at their feet, held above their heads, signaled with fireworks and all the greatness of his commands and his admonitions right before he ascended. He said, you're going to see nine different manifestations, evidences of this baptism, this promise, this unfolding, this release into you. There's nine different things you're going to see. Word of wisdom, word of knowledge, faith, gifts of healings, dunamis, prophecy, discerning of spirits, kinds of tongues, interpretation of tongues. So what we have at our feet, above our heads, and within our hearts and minds, is the ability to lambano dunamis. Dunamis is a manifestation of Holy Spirit, and it is manifested as we give witness to the Lord Jesus Christ in our day-by-day Christian walks. Thank you.